What's up? It's Jeremy Picker from Amber Creative.
This is Deanna with In the Zoning and Print Girl Mafia.
This is Ray Weiss with Printing the Night of the Lion.
You're listening to the Two Regular Guys podcast.
Hosted by Terry Combs RG, Regular Guy, and Aaron Montgomery.
The place to be for industry news.
The best dad jokes on earth, along with relevant topics to apparel decorators.
Fashion to the people. All right, welcome into the show. It is Friday, March 15th, 2024. I'm Terry Combs, and you can find me at terrycombs.com.
And I'm Aaron Montgomery, and you can find me at oursuccessgroup.com. And my mission is to inspire you to fall in love with your business. And Terry, today we're going to talk about the value of creativity in the decorating business, from creative decorations and styles to really creative solutions, right? So creativity can...
Do we have a special guest?
And we have a special guest pulling double. Well, this is probably triple duty at this point, I think, if we're keeping score at home. But Eric Campbell will be joining us to lead us in this conversation. We brought the creative arm of Two Regular Guys to the fold here today, Terry. So looking forward Absolutely. To having Eric in here in just a moment, and really going to be
for sure.
A great conversation today.
Yeah. Hey, make sure you stay till the very end to get your helping of the secret sauce. Aaron will be sharing an extra spicy helping of customer service. So called What Really Makes for Good Customer Service. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, we'll have to get one of those menus, you know, like they have at Buffalo Wild Wings. You've got the 12 different layers of heat. And I think this one's extra spicy, though. So nice. We'll see what you guys think. All right. Well, Terry, we've got the news coming your way here in just one moment. We've got Adrian from DTFprinting.com joining us. So are you ready to welcome her in?
Yeah, let's hear from Adrian.
All right. Here we go.
Happy Friday, everyone. Here's the latest news from DTF Printing. DGI Apparel transforms inventory purchasing for apparel decorators. A new online tool is giving print shops and nonprofits the option to find the best blank apparel prices on one website for free. DGI Apparel allows users to compare custom pricing from garment suppliers, ensuring they find the best deals in a fraction of the time. The process is simple. Sign up, connect your vendors, and start shopping. Users add their vendor accounts, which enables the system to display their personalized pricing, promotions, and real-time inventory levels at every warehouse. This gives the users the opportunity to compare across all vendors and manage their carts in one location. Currently, DGI Apparel supports 7 of the largest blank garment suppliers. You must sign up for free to see the full list of vendors at dgiapparel.com. Up next, Women in Print Alliance honors women in print. This March, during Women's History Month, the Women in Print Alliance continues its year-round mission of attracting, advancing, and advocating for women in the print industry with a month-long social media campaign on LinkedIn. The post and channel aim to serve as a platform for women leaders, educators, innovators, and rising stars to exchange dialogue and engage with their peers. They also reflect on past lessons from women leaders in the print community. To recognize and learn from women in the industry, follow Women Making Print History and join the Women in Print Alliance channel on LinkedIn. And last but not least, Gerald Gelito of Merch Studio wins inaugural DTF Printing T-shirt contest. DTF printers from across the country had the chance to demonstrate their direct-to-film printing knowledge and expertise by competing in the first ever DTF printing t-shirt contest. Close to 80 participants received a blank UX print t-shirt and a downloadable file with the design. 21 printed t-shirts were shipped to Phoenix by deadline and judged by Zach Acorn of Self-Made Designs, Scott Donovan of DuPont Artistry, and Jeremy Pales of DTF Superstore. On the final day of DTF Expo, Gerald Gelito of Merch Studio was crowned the winner of the DTF printing t-shirt contest. Gerald won more than just bragging rights. As the first place winner, he received a trophy, a digital badge, $500 toward DTF Superstore, and a case of UX Print t-shirts. You can read more about the DTF Printing t-shirt contest and all of our industry news at dtfprinting.com. See you next time.
All right. Thanks. You know, I haven't given Adrienne an OU oh yeah for a while, since she is a fellow Ohio University Bobcat School of Journalism.
I thought maybe that had gone away, but I'm glad that it's back. No, so
nothing ever goes away, Aaron.
No. Okay.
Sometimes it hibernates, but it comes back.
Okay. All right. All right. Does that count as one of the 8-10 stories or no?
No, that's not really a story. It's
okay. All right. I like that. Yeah. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. Good.
I noticed that you've been filling up our roster of dad jokes. You've got quite a few there in the stable that are pretty darn good. So,
all right. All right. Are you ready? Well, you've been doing such a good job. I felt like I had to, you know, carry my share of the weight on this because you've been killing it for so long. So, I am ready if you are, though.
All right. Let's hear that dad joke.
All right, Terry. So the world's worst limbo player walks into a bar. That's the joke.
That's the joke, folks. That's actually a pretty good one. I like that.
Yeah. Bad joke. Yes. And my 12-year-old thought it was hilarious. So I knew it was a hit.
I thought it was pretty good too. So, but you know. We're alike in many ways.
Yeah. I'm a 12-year-old as well. So yeah, it's all good.
All right, Aaron, before we dive in, we want to thank everybody for checking out the Two Regular Guys podcast. We need your voices still. We would love to have you have the regulators participate in the show intros. So go to decorators.inc/intro and read a few lines and be a part of history, our 12th year. So we've got a few in, as you know, but don't get left out. We are always looking for new guests. So if you or anyone you know would like to join us, go to calendly.com/2 regular guys to book a future episode, or you can email us at info@2regularguys.com with your show ideas. If you are listening to the podcast version of the show, we would appreciate you sharing the Two Regular Guys podcast with all of your industry friends. Reach out to them right now so they can become regulators too. And we would certainly appreciate you giving us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Podcasts, YouTube Podcasts, wherever you do your podcast listening, we are there. And if you're watching us live right now, please add your comments and as we go along.
Yeah, indeed, Judd. Jump right in. And again, get out there to sharing. We want to keep the regulators community growing and thriving. So looking forward to that. And real quick, back to the intro thing, Terry, we've already got some new ones, as you had mentioned there, but people are already kind of moving jobs. So we got to get some fresh ones again. So
if you've recently changed jobs, please go on and do a new version of your intro. Right.
There we go. decorators.inc/intro. All right. Well, Terry, appreciate all that. Looking forward to this. In fact, I say we dive right in. We have Eric turn his hat around and he becomes a guest. So why don't we welcome in Eric Campbell into the show right now.
And push the button yourself to bring yourself in, Eric.
I was welcome myself in, really. I mean, I get to come on whenever I want, really.
We you probably know? Should have just been like, okay, Eric, come in, then you can welcome yourself, then you can go back out.
If I read my own welcome and then pump myself up for the bio, it feels a little disingenuous. But,
you know. You did actually random jump in last week, so you're right. You can come in whenever you want.
This is true, I did. I was like, well,
this is my house. You guys just to get to live in it.
Exactly right. You should never give me a button in the first place. I think, letting any creative arm of anything have the control of the buttons is probably a dangerous thing to do. But that's a good thing, though. I think, honestly, we do well with kind of overlapping and all the things that we do well. But at the same time, I really wanted to bring you guys into this. I know we joked around about me bringing this creative topic up because of all the stuff. And I do often teach the kind of stuff that is, you know, artistic interpretation and creative execution and techniques and stuff like that. But honestly, there's a reason why I called the idea the value of creative execution. And yes, of course, Terry did jump in and say, I'm going to wear a hood and bring an axe because you used the word execution again. Execution. How we make things happen. We know what I'm talking about. But I called the value of that because honestly, part of what we're going to talk about today is bottom line. because I think that there is a bottom line monetary value to doing creative things. And I also think we get bogged down, or if not bogged down, we get obsessed with the technique part of it. How do we, you know, how do I do a certain kind of embroidery? And that's what I do all the time. Or, you know, how do we do certain kinds of art? How do we do certain kinds of multimedia printing? Whatever it is, we get bogged down on what I often call project education, where it's we're doing a walkthrough to make something cool. And we talk about that a lot. The thing is, I still think that has value. But the other part of the creativity that we're going to talk about today is creativity in the way we execute on business, the way we actually handle our business, you know, customer service, the way we deal with internal issues in our companies. All these things have a creative bent to them. And I wanted to bring you guys in and say, hey, where does that creative spirit work with you? So in kind of starting that, I think I'll throw this back and forth to you guys and I'll jump in. I think we're all just going to have kind of a pile on this topic, but I have some things to guide us down that road. And like I said, this came up for me because I was teaching recently the Technique Toolkit out in Long Beach. And recently I taught Vintage Values, which is another one where I talk about vintage stitch types and how to make something look vintage. I taught that at DAX. And sometimes we get into this point where people are saying, hey, what's this creative stuff really mean? Like, is this going to make me more money? Or is it taking me more time? Am I just putting more effort? Certainly there's a lot to argue on that one, because a lot of these creative execution things we do don't add as much time as they add value. That's the thing. It's like the input you put in doesn't always, it's not always the amount of value you get back out. It's perceived value. But I think that there's more to it than that. And I wanted to kind of get that topic of creativity out there and also see what you guys think from your corners of the industry.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. And well, I'm glad that you put out one.
I'm sorry, you go ahead, Aaron.
Well, I was just going to say, Terry, that I'm glad that Eric put an outline together for us to keep us on track, because yes, we will talk over each other. We will get off track. So go ahead. Your turn now, Terry.
Well, I was just going to say, when I read the outline, initially when we talked about this show, I thought I was just going to sit here and listen to Eric.
Oh, no.
I have to work today. The other thing is, you know, when you talk about those vintage images, vintage fonts, and I remember those, but somebody goes, hey, look at this cool new font.
Yeah. So. Goes back around. I mean, speaking of, and I'm going to joke around since I got my hat on, I'll lean in because you can see it. This is from the big retro project that I just got done with Embrilliance.
Where everyone gets wavy, stitches.
Yeah. Wavy psychedelic type. And I'm going to tell you, it was a heck of a launch. People are in. It's these things come back. These things change. It's always coming back to us. And I think it's worthwhile to kind of think, hey, creativity comes back and forth. It doesn't mean it's something brand new that we're always inventing. Sometimes it's something we've seen before, but it might be something that not everybody's doing at the time. And that can be a big deal. I mean, that really can make you stand out.
Yeah.
But here's, I want to start with this question. Like, I'll try and get us back on the outline because I do have some questions involved. But let's start with this one. And just in a general kind of way for both of you guys. And I think, hey, Terry, I'll pick on you first since you had to work today. When you guys think about creativity in like your corner of decoration, the decoration you're most familiar with, what's the first thing that you think of? Like, what's the first thing you say, okay, that's where we have to leverage creativity?
You know, when I saw this question in your outline, I was thinking just last weekend, I taught a screen printing class at Atlas Screen Supply in Chicago. And one of the things I talk about in the business and marketing is business cards. And yes, Gen Z, there are still people who use business cards. but I always talk to them about, and I have a really cool business card in my slide deck that from a decorator up in Maine. It's basically his hand holding a squeegee, and he's, you know, he's got a lot of tats in his arm. Very, very cool looking image. But I tell them, you know, your business card, nobody wants to buy from somebody that has a business card that looks like Bernstein, Bernstein, Bernstein and Smith, attorneys at law. They want to see a business card that makes people think this is a creative person. This is a creative company. So I think, you know, everything about the way you present your company has to show creativity. It has to tell the story to your customer that, oh yeah, I'm glad I came here. This is going to be, you know, this is the company that's going to be able to take what I have in my head here and put it on a garment in one way or another. Is that kind of where we're talking about here?
It works. Like I said, I mean, I was thinking more, I was going to ask you where, I think you're getting ahead of me is the good thing. You're already, we're thinking alike. Cause I think that's one of the things we don't do. We talk about creativity, like on the press, in the hoop, we talk about that all the time. I think we don't talk about what you're talking about enough, which is like that all of the presentation, everything you do is part of your branding. I mean, we've had Jay Bissell on over and over talking to us about, you know, how everything we do is our brand. Well, then everything we do probably should have some part of our creative culture in it to show people what we are. Yeah, and exactly. We are in a creative industry. You can't say we're not.
And I didn't read ahead, by the way. This is the only question I read.
Yeah. So. I expected it. Yeah, no, that's what I like, though. That
he
tells me that I'm not
work.
Lost. All right. Well, Aaron, what do you think? What's your first reaction just to hearing somebody say, oh, okay, well, creativity in what you do? What's your first
thing? Yeah. Well, first you have to define what I do. And then secondly, no.
Well, you do so much. I mean, I could get to the decoration part and go about the sublimation you know about, or I could just say, hey, in helping people with their businesses, which is what you actually do, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm going to, since Terry went off course already, I'm going to see if I can stay on course and do with the decorating stuff. So I will talk sublimation first. How about that?
Okay.
And maybe we could pitch it back to Terry for some screen printing. I don't know, but we'll just,
we don't have to follow any rules. I'm just trying. I just know
the two regular guys. We follow no rules, Eric.
Absolutely. Works for me.
All right. So man, that's a good one. I think with sublimation, the creativity is more about the substrate and what it is that you're doing with that substrate. Like, because there's so many things you can decorate, because there's so many, I mean, like you look at like a sandal for wedding parties. Like when I first saw those things, so for those that aren't familiar with a sublimated flip-flop sandal, whatever you want to call it, right? You're actually decorating on the face. And so my foot's going to stand right on there. Nobody's going to see the decoration, but yet the reality is they love those things because it's a commemorative thing. Like you could sell them to bridal parties and things like that. Right. So, you know, just kind of thinking outside the box with how the things are going to be used. And then, you know, just getting into the creativity of the service around it. Like I knew somebody that had a really awesome line of pet products, and the way that their system was set up is you would go in, you'd pick the product that you wanted, whether there's a shirt, a sock, a towel, or whatever, and you'd upload a picture of your pet, and they would use some automation, cut out the pet, basically knock it off the background, and then put a big white border around it on some cool pattern background that you chose. And it would kind of be this, collage kind of look, right? And it was like petfaces, I think, .com or something like that. I can't remember what it was, but just the fact that, okay, what are the things? But it was more about the creativity around how they made it really easy for the customer. All the customer had to do, pick the product, pick your background, upload your pet. They send them a proof. They sign off on the proof. They make the product, they get it. And man, I've got my dog's face all over my towel now, and I love it, kind of thing. So those are some of the creative things.
I think that you can't get away from that, because even though I pitched it trying to like lead you guys down to this road of like talking about, you know, the particular decoration methods, I think that's where we think differently, and where I want to bring the people along, the regulators along, say, hey, that is the thing we think about. We keep thinking about making the cool thing. We're thinking in a very two-dimensional way about our images, about our decorations themselves.
Yeah.
But there's so much outside of that that's part of what makes it valuable.
Well, I think the decoration too is, I like to think that part of creativity is understood now.
Yeah.
You know, it isn't always, but it should be. But but I think that, you know, that's when I talk in screen printing class, I'm like, the printing part's the easy part. It's all the rest of it that you have to work on. I think it's the same here. It's all the rest of it. And you know, there's creativity in the way you attract customers. And there's a thousand different ways to separate yourself from the crowd when you're when you're attracting customers, and depending on your circumstances and what your strengths are and your creativity and reaching out to customers in different ways. I mean, I remember once there was a company that was a marketing company, but they sent me a baseball And I opened it up, and inside was a little note explaining something about Babe Ruth and how it all related to marketing. And it was just super clever. And of course, unfortunately, that was many, many years ago, so I can't remember what the company was, but I sure remember getting that baseball in the mail.
Hey, it stuck with you. And if it was something where you used that company over and over, I'm sure you probably would remember that. I mean, because you remembered the pitch now here. I guess, well, pun unintended, pitch with a baseball pitch. But the funny thing is that leads kind of into my second question here. Now, I'll go forward with my answer to Q1 real quick, too, and say for embroidery, it's very easy for me to say, oh, hey, for me, it's about use of stitch types and materials. Those are the two things I really see a lot of. The commercial embroidery uses the same kind of three stitch types. It is fairly flat overall. And what I continue to pitch people is that we have a very dimensional thing in embroidery that we can use stitch angles and stitch types and elevation, because we literally make something that stands up off the surface that I think people don't think about the third dimension embroidery very much either. So that's what I usually think of with creativity. But I'll say, teaching with Joe Kramer, who I had on my show last week, and who we've had on the show before, he really does a lot with material usage, with applique and with all of that. So even in the decoration side, I think there's so much that's untapped about how we interpret designs and the materials we use, because we tend to get standardized. And I think it's not something that you necessarily fight all the time. Not all customers want crazy, you know, treatments for everything. But the availability of that, I think it's very much like what you said about the business cards. Showing that you can do that stuff is valuable to building customer trust. Yeah. But then I think about like what you said about this baseball and the ideas that you had there. It's like, the second question I had was about the value of decorated objects, decorated garments, decorated, it could be apparel, it could be accessories, whatever.
Yeah.
How much do you guys think the value of that object is there in standing apart? Like, how much of the value of something decorated is in that difference? And Aaron, I'll have you start. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's everything, right? Like Terry was saying, the printing part is easy. You know, I mean, yeah, you've got to work at it to, you know, become really good at it, you know the nuances, the intricacies, and you know, you talk about digitizing, Eric, right? There's so many different things that go on there, you know, with screen printing, mesh counts and getting all that stuff and sublimating. There's a little bit of an art to that, right? Everybody thinks that you just go 400 degrees for 60 seconds, but that's nowhere close to true. And you know, so, yeah, exactly. and so you got all that, but really at the end of the day, I think everybody that is going to be a decorator that lasts gets to that point where they're good at their craft, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, you think about the thousands and thousands and thousands of decorators out there. Standing out or standing apart is everything, right? I talk in my seminars about the fact that you could have somebody right next door to you that has all the exact same equipment, that makes all the exact same products, and your two companies are going to be completely unique and attract two different types of customers because of the fact that you are unique, right? The owner, the values of that company, the brand of that company aren't going to be the same no matter what, no matter how much they try to be the same. And so you're going to have different customers. And I think that's, I believe that's kind of crucial. And in fact, why I think this topic is so important is that we have to find out what makes us stand out or stand apart or differentiate us, right? And it doesn't have to be the crazy techniques like we were talking about in question number one there. When I think like uber creativity like that, I actually think of my friend Stephanie Young, who's with Caesar. She's actually got a Facebook group that's called So Stephanie Says. And so you guys could go check that out if you want to see like super creative uses of embroidery, vinyl, sublimation, all on one thing. Like it's like craziness there. So, but she's uber creative, right? So you got that. But I think the other side of it is like what we've been talking about a little bit already too, how you stand out in your marketing, how you stand out in the values and the services that you provide, that kind of thing. So, I guess to answer your question, finally, biggest part of this whole conversation to me is that you have to stand out. You have to stand apart. Mm-hmm.
I think,
go ahead.
Oh, no, I just to respond to this. I have a hard time seeing any way you don't think standing apart is important. I guess I'll kind of transition my answer and then, sorry, Terry, I'll give you back the floor since we are stepping on each other today. I think for me, it's like, no matter what angle you look at this thing, whether we're talking about the marketing or we're talking about how we operate, whether we're talking about our own corporate culture, the design for our own branding, or we're talking about what we're doing on the garment, which is kind of where I leaned in. I'm like, all right, even if we are doing something where we're doing business to business, uniforming, the concept of anything promotional, even if it's just to make people look more professional, is to be seen. It is to be viewed by a viewer. If we are doing that, it's like whether we have to be seen by an end customer for a commercial business, or even more so, you're in some sort of retail space or you're selling something, or even if you're selling merch, the merch has to be seen and captivate somebody enough to pay. And if we are on a shelf with other garments from somebody else, or if we are hanging on a wall, you know, behind the counter at the diner that you like, you have to catch somebody's eye enough and delight them enough that they decide to do something that, frankly, especially when we're talking about merch, is a little bit different than their usual, and stop and go, you know, I eat here all the time, but I sure would love the hat. You know, that is a very different feeling that you're going to have to capture somebody to get that to happen. It has to be cool enough, interesting enough, novel enough that they want to do that. So I feel like no matter what angle you're at, there's got to be something that stands out. Now, I know I think people maybe stress out a little bit about creativity, but it doesn't mean that you have to do something that's never been done. It just means you want to try to continue to offer lots of options and bring in a knowledge of kind of what's out there.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Terry, it's your turn.
For my idea, and I want to give a little disclaimer to all the folks that were at my screen printing class last Saturday and Sunday, that we don't just talk about things from screen printing class from the previous week, but I do want to bring something up because, you know, part of the class I talk about, and I'm going to be specific to screen printing here. I talk about specialty inks. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons that I tell them all about all these different specialty inks is most of your competitors don't do this. Most of them don't use anything outside of the norm. 1, 2, and 3 color, Plastisol ink, wham, bam, there's your company name. And I'll give some examples there. And one is from a real case scenario in the Chicago area where somebody was printing, they were printing sweatpants for a women's volleyball team, a high school volleyball team. And they did and they wanted the school name down the leg, you know, just like every other volleyball team. And so they did the order. Then they put foil, and foil will adhere to Plastisol ink. They put foil over an extra pair and put it in the box. 20 minutes later, the phone rings.
Genius.
Oh, everybody saw those. We need to order another set. We need to order another for the entire team. They loved this. They want it. And what I point out to people in class is, most of your competitors don't step outside the box and try these things. You know, just as something as simple as doing a graphic and dropping in a little gel. Gel ink is an ink that looks, it's clear, glossy. It looks like there's water on the image. And one more screen to drop something like that, and it separates you from all the competition. And my slide, when I talk about this, I specifically say that two things. One thing, it's going to separate you from the competition. Second thing is people are going to see that, having probably never seen it before, then maybe at the gift shop at Disneyland, and say, wow, these folks really do some cool stuff. And they're at the top of their game just by seeing something that cost me the price of another screen, or just putting in a different ink into the screen. So that makes you stand apart, in my opinion. I'm going to try to make no more references to Terry Combs' complete screen printing course.
I don't know. You should keep doing it.
I'm not going to take that bet. I don't think he can.
I think that's... Oh, sorry, sir. No, we're all excited about this topic. We're too jazzed up tonight.
Yes. Sorry. I think that's what it is. When you're so passionate about these things, we talk. So real quick,
it's hard.
I'm gonna add this, Eric, and then you can go. Yeah, okay.
Dude, go for it.
I promise. Please. I'll leave it. Leave your room. So
please go for it.
We talk about the value that standing out, setting apart is. If you think about what it is that we do, if we don't try to stand out or stand apart, we just become a commodity, right? It's just about the price. Right? It's just another t-shirt. And so that is it. It's perceived value. What we're doing has to have perceived value to it. Yes. And therefore this is so crucial. So go ahead, Eric. Sorry.
Oh no, funny enough, that's something I say in my classes. Every single class I have, at some point I will say, be a consultant, not a commodity. Yeah. And that's where you're like, no, I want you to have answers to give people, because, and we're going to talk about this in a moment, the bar of entry is lower. I mean, having a machine isn't enough, and we'll talk about that. But the one thing I wanted to kind of jump on that I really had to respond to Terry is that people think it's going to be something crazy and difficult to do, like a piece of multimedia or something. Foil, it's been around for a while. This is not new. Yeah. We're not unlocking some new formulation. We're not mixing chemicals in the back. This is not Breaking Bad. We're not, we're not cooking up new inks. When you drop in a thicker thread, especially if you only do moderately thicker threads, you don't even have to change your needles out. You have to do a little bit of density adjustments on your software. There's a ton of stuff that takes a slider and resaving a file, or like you said, one layer of foil and hitting it with heat. I mean, there's tons of stuff where it doesn't take a lot of effort to make that work out.
Yeah.
And exactly, it's kind of amazing. People think like, okay, oh, well, no, everybody's already seen this. Also, we're steeped in this. We do this all day. This is what we do. We've seen all of it because we dug in. Do you think your customer knows that? How much do we know about things? Like, if we go to a certain customer, and let's say you're not into cars and you go to your mechanic and suddenly they offer you a new service or a version of something, you get Max Life oil that you never knew about, and it's going to make your stuff run better when you got an older car. If you had never heard about that before, you're like, oh, well, how much more is it? Yeah. Okay. That sounds great. Yeah. I didn't know that was a thing. That's been around forever. But if you didn't know, you don't know. And if you don't offer, the customer has no way to know. They're not into this arcane stuff that we know about our job. We have to remember that audience is an audience of people who may or may not know anything. In fact, I've had people come in and say, I want to get that embroidery printing, the one with thread. And you're looking at them like, you said three things that don't go together. And I don't know. I'm pretty sure I think I know what you mean.
On a balloon.
Yeah. And you're like, wait. Now, do you want a fake thing that looks like thread, or is it supposed to be printed? Is it? You start losing your mind. And I've had people say, no, I want to get that embroidery. And you're like, okay. And they actually mean like it is decorated. Because I've had somebody ask for embroidery and then I tell them, they're like, no, the t-shirt that you print. And you're like, printing, screen printing. It's on the sign outside. Screen printing. I've had people use one or the other. Like, I want to get it printed with thread. Wait. okay. They might be at that level with you. Now, I will say these days people are way more initiated because the online world has allowed everybody to do research before they start. People know more all the time, but in the history of my career, I've had tons of people who don't know. And when we're getting into arcane stuff like thread types or ink, different kinds of ink setups or multimedia or different substrates, different objects that you can decorate on, they might not have thought of.
Yeah.
I mean, back in the day, we always said, okay, we got to use do you want fries of that model? Because people didn't know we could do hats. We literally were like giving them shirts. We'd embroidering shirts for them for years and go, do you like me to put that on a hat for you? Or we'd put a visor in and suddenly everybody's like, you can do that with the embroidery machine? You're like,
yeah,
we didn't tell you that before. And we could have been selling visors on every order to the car wash down the street forever. We just didn't say till one day. Though we talk about creativity, it doesn't mean you're out there becoming an art mogul or you're not developing a new streetwear line for every brand that comes in, but swapping a thread out for a metallic, throwing down a foil, using, instead of just mugs that you're putting up, tell them you can make a plaque too. You can make something else. You can make a ornament. That's another one that's funny. I actually saw this play out in sublimation Christmas ornaments, which I know, Aaron, you know very well. You've done a lot of those. Seeing somebody offer that to a company and they're like, they had never offered it to in a corporate setting. And I'm like, of course corporations make ornaments for Christmas. Of course they would. Of course they would. Yeah. They've got gifting. Anyway. So I think that's the thing. It doesn't mean it's hard to do. It doesn't mean adding a ton more of time in the art prep portion of this thing. It just means offering something more than the standard, more than what we are used to. So here's what I'll say. We talked kind of about this around, but let's go to the next question, because I'd love to hear you guys talk about this, especially because you guys both very much know this side of the world. We now see this rise of more and more digital decoration, right? We're seeing digital decoration. We got DTF, we've got sublimation, we've got every manner of printing that's in that space, especially. But, and I'll even say we're seeing an overall lowering of the bar to entry to all decoration methods. The one that I see is we're seeing commercial level, or at least commercial style equipment that's being sold on Amazon for a third to a half of what we're used to seeing for like single head machinery. The bar of entry is getting lower all the time. Mm-hmm. So how do you guys see the role of creativity now that having a machine, being the person with equipment, just isn't quite enough?
Yeah.
Well, I'll jump in on that. Yes, it's easier and easier to get into the industry. I don't think it was that hard before. It might have taken a little bit more, more of a learning curve, especially with embroidery, especially with screen printing. So people can do sublimation. They can do DTG. They can do DTF. And they can learn the process fairly easily, but it's still the same people. It's still the same people who think that all you need to, I'll give you an example.
Please.
Is this from screen printing class?
No. I'm hoping to kick these stories out, people. This is not like, I'm not gritting my teeth. This is what I want to have.
I remember somebody calling me up and they were ordering ink for a DTG machine back in T-Jet days, Aaron. And I said, you know, I can't help but notice you only buy black ink. And he goes, well, I'm starting with one color and then I'm going to build my way up to full color images. And I'm like, you know that DTG machine doesn't care if it's printing one color or 1,000 colors, right? And there's still that mindset of there are a lot of people get into this industry or garment product decorating industry that still aren't creative people. They want to do t-shirts and they think they think they're doing great work, but I think it takes I don't want to say a special kind of person, but somebody that has more of a creative tilt to them to. Mm-hmm. So in other words, what I'm saying is, and I know I'm jumping around, what I'm saying is it's the same people who over here are just doing mediocre work with this technology. They're still over here doing mediocre work. We folks over here who feel like we're a little more creative, we're finding even more ways to use this technology. It's just 12 more arrows in the quiver. It's like, oh my gosh, now look what I can do. So that's kind of my take on it.
Yeah. Well, and I will also say, kind of going on Terry's point there too, the other thing to be aware of, like you were kind of talking about, you know, some of the people that might be kind of stuck in the old ways and not willing to be creative, right, is these folks that are coming in and the barrier of entry getting lower, right? They're making do with less, right? That their equipment has less capabilities. It's not quite, you know, they have to figure things out. They, you know, stand on one leg and pat their tummy and rub their head at the same time while they're getting their machine to work. But that's all they creatively do it. I remember a guy that used to buy tons of sublimation ink cartridges from us, and like these little, and they were for the C88 printers, and he was like buying, I mean, massive amounts, like more so than people with wide format equipment. And come to find out, he just kept buying all these little C88s and putting Sawgrass inks in them to do mugs. And he was making mugs out the wazoo, but he kept with those because he just wanted to run the mug paper through it. He didn't want to have to cut the paper afterwards by hand. And so he just had like 50 of these C88s running all the time until they die. And then he put another one in there and just ran
his model.
Yeah, exactly. But that was his creativity, right? He found a way to sell all these mugs. And then instead of, you know, most people would have gone, okay, well, now I've got to get the wide format equipment. Now I got to do this. Yeah. This is the traditional way to do it. And he was like, nope, I'm just going to run 50 of these things at a time, spit out sheets of paper. I don't have to cut anything. Right. I still think that this is the craziest part about our whole industry in general, right? We get all these cool technology pieces and we still break out the scissors.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah. So anyhow,
I think that works though.
Yeah. Creativity on how you solve your problems too, right?
Well, and if he put his margins correct, which obviously he did, if he was continuing to order from you over and over and over again, if he was making enough money on the mugs to be happy and to have the, you know, to make the money that he needed to make and to continue running a small format, which is more expensive on the, you know, supply end. Hey, that works. And also, if you reduce a bunch of the labor, labor is the most expensive thing you ever put into anything.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, and that was his point for sure.
That's crazy. But at the same time, I've seen it certainly. There is this kind of attitude, or was for a long time in embroidery, where it's like you move up to the big multi-head machine, like the one that I have in my fake background behind me, like, and that's real production. You get up on, you haven't. Oh yeah, I'm not laying on. Once again, I'm not like laying on the table of a giant machine. But yeah, you don't move up to this and suddenly professional. Make no, you've been professional, and there are people I know who run fleets of single heads, and then the one that I always bring out, because I do want to kind of take down this concept of you have to do it one way. In fact, I think the creative solutions absolutely win the day. It's about what's fit for the thing you want to do. A big company out in London called Hand and Lock, who's been embroidering forever. We're talking hundreds of years at this point. I saw them doing on-site activations for fashion brands, and you want to know what they're taking up into these big high-end stores. They're taking prosumer level home branded machines. They're taking Brother six needle and single needle machines that look a little bit more like a commercial machine, but they are from a home store. They are something you'd buy in a sewing shop. And that's who's, and this is a professional company that uses professional equipment everywhere else, but because they are light, easily repaired, you can stick them in the back of a hatchback car. They don't weigh too much. A person can carry them upstairs if you have to. They were taking these up and doing monogramming, name drops, and small limited color logos on high-end apparel live. It fits the solution it needs to. Mm-hmm. You could look at this, and anybody else might look at this, and one of us who came up on these big iron machines would look at that and go, oh, somebody's got a nice plastic toy here. But I'm going to tell you, I broke myself out a long time ago, and sometimes I'll even test things. I have a $500 Walmart sewing embroidery machine that I will sometimes test stuff on. Because I'm like, if I can make it spin on that and test on that, I can hand that to anybody with any machine in the world, and I know it's going to work.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I've seen people do business on these things. I've seen people make real appreciable money, especially because the margins on throwing names on high-end gear can be higher. You can charge a lot more when you're sitting in a Burberry working on scarves that cost 10 times what your stuff you ordered from a regular catalog costs.
Yeah.
Did the stitches change? No. Locations change. The assignment change. It's more about this solution. You came into the shop and they got to have this cool like evening of wine and monograms somewhere, and they're watching them get done and putting in orders. And these orders are coming in at much higher margins than your standard walk into a monogram shop in the South would cost. Are they doing anything different? No, but the creativity then is in the solution. And so that's the thing. Just the equipment, even the best equipment, isn't enough to be the only solution that's viable. And honestly, what stood out for those people, what stood out for that big company, and for lots of people who do on-site activations, is being on-site, is making it an experience, which doesn't, once again, dropping a name in a single color is like the very first thing embroidery and on a machine ever did. You know, that is the concept of a lot of machine embroidery is personalization. First embroidery I ever knew in my life was like my dad's mechanic shirts with a name over the pocket on a regular patch. Uniform embroidery is the first embroidery I ever saw. But at the same time, they elevated something that we do every day into a new thing and on home style equipment and made more money than people doing traditional work.
Yeah.
You have to look at these things and say the solution has to fit the problem, and that we can offer solutions other people don't and might end up with a higher margin, even with less actual outlay on the design work itself.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Awesome. Eric, let's take a quick breather here and hear a little bit about Fundamentals Live, and then we'll come back. I know you got more for us here, so I can't wait.
Let's go for it.
Are you a small business that's feeling overwhelmed and underpaid? Do you want to find more balance and fulfillment in your small business?
We're here to share the good news about an upcoming small business retreat where you can come together as a community to facilitate falling in love with your business.
That's right. We're incredibly excited to announce the June 2024 Small Business Workshop and Retreat called Fundamentals Live. This event is based on the book, The Fundamentals of Business Success, and it's going to be your community designed to align your entrepreneurial spirit with meaningful success strategies.
Join us in O'Fallon, Missouri, just west of St. Louis, in discovering networking opportunities that go beyond mere connections. You're going to create relationships that inspire growth and collaboration.
With only 40 seats available, spots are already filling up. Don't miss out on your chance to transform yourself and your business June 7th and 8th in O'Fallon, Missouri.
All right. I'm really excited about it, guys. So make sure that you get signed up. If you have any questions about it, just let me know. I'm talking to more and more people about it every day. So
I think it's going to be a very cool event. So
yeah. Yeah.
Very awesome. Yeah. Now I'm going to admit I put too much on our docket today than we will ever get to. So I'm going to compress a couple of things we talked about. We got up ahead of this already. So I'm going to bring some of this together and say, you know, we don't have to go through everything that's on the outlines. It's a suggestion.
I have to tell you guys, I was talking to Kim before the show and I said, hey, listen, Eric's going to be the Eric's going to be the guest. So we're going to be going way over.
I'm going to try and back it down a little bit and control myself. I would love to hammer on this topic forever.
We haven't helped you. So
break it back a little bit. Well, also here's the thing, both of you guys, and we're in tune. We've hung out a lot. We are similar in a lot of things, despite how different we all are. And we're very different people. We certainly are in tune on a lot of this stuff. So we've come up with a lot of stuff I want to talk about anyway, but I think would be interesting is to get into the stuff we haven't talked about. So I'm going to try and kind of lead us toward that. Cause I mean, we've talked a little bit about things like what are the parts about running a business that need to be more creative, stuff like that. I think we're going to compress this together. So rather than just talking about things in the decorations that we know well, or the business side, when you think about where we can leverage creativity, whether it's in decoration, whether it's in the business side, what do you think the thing is that we're just missing, or that most of the people you see are missing? What's the first thing that they haven't thought of? So either of you have something you want to jump in on that one?
I can, unless you got something, Terry.
Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
I got all something. Right, too. All right. You go ahead.
I'll try to be quick here, because I don't necessarily believe that it's that we're missing it. I think a lot of times the thing that it hinders our creativity is what we know. Right. What we believe to be like, this is, we kind of talked about this already, that you got to do it this way. You got to get this next piece of equipment, whatever. But I think a lot of times just going back to that beginner's mindset, like ask somebody that doesn't know a thing about what you're trying to do, or just, get yourself back to that place of, okay, why, right? If this is my solution, why is that, right? Is that just a preconceived notion? Because I believe that's the way it should be done based on my current knowledge. So I think that's probably the missing piece is going back to that beginner's mindset and letting go of some of the things we know, so we can find the creativity that we might be missing.
100% agree with that. 100% agree with that. For me too. And, I kind of mentioned specialty inks before, and that's something that screen printers miss out on because I think they're afraid of it. Substrates, with direct to film, I see a lot of prints on the front, a lot of prints on the back. I don't see a lot of prints on the mesh of a hat.
Sure.
And it's something that's super cool, that looks super cool, but I don't see people doing it. But let me go off on a far off tangent. I'm a big production floor nerd, as you guys know. And I think part of the creativity for me is getting out on my production floor and streamlining my production flow and having everything, it's like a well-oiled machine running. What does that do for me with my customers? I want to bring them out on my floor and have them see how smooth everything runs. And man, I've never seen that done before. And this is a really unique way that you're tracking your orders. I think it's creativity because for me, it's me with, as you guys know, my list of 20 ideas, what's going to make this better. And you have to write down 20 before you stop. And then going out there and just making it happen. And maybe it's the creativity of not working 5 days, working 4 10-hour days to get more production out. For me, because, hey, I'm not an artist. I don't sit down and do art. I feel like I know what good art is. And I've certainly hired many people to create these ideas in my head.
Yeah.
The good ideas, not the demons. No.
I'm going to let those out there too.
But anyway, I think that's probably far off to the right or to the left. But I feel that that's part of every company too. Is part of your creativity is thinking about how do I make my company better, and how do I make, from a production standpoint, how do I make production flow better and make it a more comfortable environment to work in, make it a happy workplace. That's all. And that's all you creating. May I share an example?
Please. Yes, please.
when it was a particularly hot summer in Kansas and people working hard and a lot of production to get out because we're in the collegiate marketplace and everybody wants their product on July 1st. And so I'm in a manager's meeting. I said, you know, it'd be super cool is if all you guys would wheel out a cart at break time this afternoon or tomorrow afternoon and have tubs of ice cream and toppings and scoop ice cream sundaes. And the president of the company, the vice president of the company, the sales manager, the COO, I'd love for you guys to all walk out there and scoop ice cream for everyone. And it's going to be huge for morale. That's creative thinking, I think. And the production crew loved it. And they loved the ice cream, but I think they loved the fact that the president of the company that they rarely ever saw was out there scooping out a cup of ice cream and handing it to them. So there's all kinds of creativity in our business lives. You just have to recognize it as that.
Well, and what does more for intrinsic motivation? I mean, we know intrinsic motivation is important. If we ever want to have our people motivated, that it needs to come from inside. What does more than that immediate feedback, than knowing someone cares about how you feel and how you're living? And how much more of themselves are they going to give to your process when you do want to do, hey, let's say we are doing multimedia and it is a pain in the butt. Let's say we are doing a specialty thing. You want to test something on press and you need somebody to do an entirely new setup today that they're not used to. How much more buy-in do you think you have from a crew of happy people who knows you have their best interests in mind than a crew of people who you've just been slave driving and, you know, cracking the whip and that's all you've ever done? And the funny thing is, you said that the great people at Black Duck, I was going to say the owners of Black Duck that I came up under, Black Duck, you guys know I worked at for the longest of all my shops. They just retired. So Doug and Dana, you know, congratulations. Yeah, they retired, moved on, but they were fantastic. One of the things they did was very similar. They came out and gave us all root beer floats. And they did that at in the print room. And, you know, behind a dryer is horrible in the summer in New Mexico. They came out, did that very same thing, though. It's hilarious you said that, because, like, that is something I've experienced. And as somebody working, you're like, man, that is a very nice thing that somebody makes sure that you're taken care of. And you have also, you take that break. You take 30 minutes. You take that time that is not a normal scheduled break and say, hey, yes, it's really busy, but we're going to recharge real quick and then we'll get back to it.
They everybody went home and told their significant other what happened.
I still remember it. I worked at that place for 13 years. Exactly. I still remember the day of the floats, and it's not that they had to do it every day. They didn't. I mean, they did other stuff frequently, but I remember the day we did that.
Yeah, and they're saying, you know, they really do appreciate me being here.
Yes,
that's what that says. They really appreciate me being here and working hard. And I want to work in a place like that. So
And on top of it, people want to do things that are cool. And I'll actually bring this in, and I'm going to tie all of that kind of together. Certainly in the embroidery world, we are not using as much multimedia as we could very easily. If you have any kind of heat press, you have this massive amount of opportunities with heat printing and specialty materials, rip away applique with heat transfer foils and things like that. It's really pretty simple and doesn't add extra stitch count. And it's something that, an extra heat application to every garment, I get it. But the amount of elevation you get from adding like a full tilt, full color print to an embroidered piece is massive. So I will say layering, using dimension, stuff like that. Absolutely. And thread, talking with Joe, and something that I've done too. I've used a big wool blend, thick threads. It's not that hard. And these days we can also use thinner threads and just use different settings on our digitizing software. where we can make faux thick thread treatments by multi-passing over each stitch. And it's something that's in everybody's software that you've passed by the checkbox a million times and you don't try it because your corporate customer didn't ask for it. Put the sample out there and show it to them and you never know. So there's all of that. But here's the other thing. Let your people who decorate think of something cool and give them some time to make their own stuff, especially if it's stuff that has company branding, but it's done in some new way. They want to try the new ink. Have the art department put something together that uses the new ink using your logo and let everybody make one and let them have that garment. And yes, I do mean buy that garment for them. They're going to walk around wearing that new specialty treatment and talk about it and show people. And they are now billboards for their own company. And they're also going to say, our company's different. Look what we do. This is
something cool I did at work today.
Yeah, I did this and it's cool. You should do. Or they're going to go out and they're like, oh, hey, remember that guy I know who does motocross? He would love this. He likes this type of treatment. He's going to like this dimensional thing. I know. And we also did spec samples that we got everybody involved in and asked them about it. And I remember very distinctly one that in the screen printing world, weirdly enough, I'm going to go out of my wheelhouse and talk about this. You're talking about gel inks. We were doing contracts for the Army when the Army did their big rebrand. You guys remember when the new Army logos came out and all that stuff? It was a long time ago. When they did their big rebrand, we started doing different pieces for them. And we did this guy, this was a sniper, and he was all covered up in like a ghillie suit, and you could just see his face painted. And we did gel ink sweat drops over this normal print. Cool. And let me tell you, everybody saw that print and they were like, it's like real. And they're looking at it. And the only difference is just like these four little drops of sweat and like beads of water on his face were in gel. And people came in and they ordered tons of that stuff. The funny thing is a lot of people looked at it and they didn't want gel on their actual print. They didn't know where it would fit. They just went, oh, that's so cool. You guys can do that. And then they ordered their normal stuff, but the trust level Jim's still increased. The Jim's Towing Service. Absolutely. Though I'll tell you this, you guys are shocked. The number of times I've had like the guy from Jim's Towing Service go, man, I just want to do, I want it to be really cool. And I just go, hey man, it's like first one's free. I bring him in and go, hey, come here. Check out this thread. It's kind of weird, but are you into doing something weird? Because if you're into doing something weird, I got a sample of something I made for myself. Take a look Hold at on. This. I can make you this if you want to pay for it. Like if you're good, it's going to cost a little bit more, but I can do this cool new thread. What he may not know is that the thread is a one-to-one swap for our standard thread. Like I could just put it up on the machine and it's different, but it's different because it's a little fuzzy. And that might be all I have to do is literally go, hey guys, take that red out and put the fuzzy red on. That's like Jim's Towing Service wants the vintage, like go get the garment dyed shirt and put the fuzzy red on. And he's going to think this is awesome. Yeah. It doesn't have to be hard. It just has to stand out,
Yeah. So but then I you have to that. Sell it like you're the drug dealer. Like, hold on. Off to the side. Come on.
Well, I'll say it's not. I do the drug dealer joke, but what I will say this is that people do kind of get attached to creativity. What my salespeople used to do, which by the way, sometimes drove me nuts. I'm not going to lie. Talk to your art department before you do this. They would be having somebody difficult who didn't understand stuff, and they'd go, wait. Let me get the artist. Let me get the creative guy out here and bring him to the table. Let's see what he can say about it. They also knew that we were going to pitch stuff that was production friendly because we don't want to be on the hook with the production guys for what weird thing we came up. We're going to try and bring it into the place to be production friendly if we can, because we also know what we're doing. We're not throwing this out as a craft project. This is not something that's supposed to be just fun to do. We got to make some money. At the same time, the amount of times I've seen a bad situation with somebody who's not gelling with what the needs are of the medium change their whole tune when the artist was brought out to the counter to have the discussion with them about what they wanted. No, wait, I'm going to get one of our art staff to do a creative, review with you of your stuff. Did we say the same thing the salesperson just said? 80% of the time, at least, maybe 90.
But at the same time, the curtain.
Yes, but I showed them the, oh no, wait a moment, let me bring you in. Or you want to come to the art room real quick and where the lights are dimmed and all the machines are on and we're all drawing stuff and show you some things. And I know it sounds disingenuous, but honestly, there's some of it is about that feeling we talked about with our employees. They felt like they're being taken care of, and that's what they were, that's what they were there for.
That sounds like a creative way of selling, if I'm not mistaken.
100%. 100%. Letting people feel like they're part of a process, even if what you're doing is kind of, you're letting them pick out of the three things you know will work, but you give them the illusion that the three things are their choices, and then they choose one, and suddenly they made a shirt today. Yeah. That's what we want. We want them to feel involved.
There we go.
Anyway, well, I would like to bring this kind of, let's bring this kind of to a close. We'll give us a last, we'll put a bow on this thing. We're about at time. But I would love to have each of your answers for just kind of first thing that comes to your mind. Why does this creativity matter to the bottom line? And I do indeed mean dollars and cents.
Yep. Yep. Go, Terry.
Yeah, go.
Well, I think that, as I mentioned before, I think that everybody that wants to buy from somebody that does decorative apparel wants to buy from somebody creative. So it does drive to the bottom line. I think everything we talked about here, you know, from creating the ideal workflow to creating to using specialty products that other people don't do, applying products in ways that you don't expect, and so I think it all drives to the bottom line because it's going to increase our sales by being that creative company, in my opinion, and you know, people who are drawn to this business are 90% of the time creative type folks anyway. And so this just goes hand in hand in making the happy workplace, all of it, you know, and speaking of tying a bow on it, all of it is part of the creative process, in my opinion.
And I'll agree with that completely. And the other thing I'll say is not only does it, you know, increase your sales, like Terry said, I think it increases your profit margin, right? Eric was just talking about that, right? We can switch out the thread and maybe it is really kind of a one-to-one and there's not that much difference in cost, but the perceived value, you know, goes up exponentially, right? I talk about my classes like, okay, a Lexus and a Toyota made by the same company. It can't cost that much more for a Lexus, but the reality is the perceived value of that is much higher because of the way that it's presented, right? It's creative, it's different. And so the same thing happens here for us is, okay, we're no longer just selling a shirt. We've now got this creative piece of art that we're able to offer because of, you know, the four splotches of gel on the sweat on the guy, right? I mean, you know, again, cost-wise, nominal, but value-wise, exponential. So even if you don't actually increase your sales, which 100% you will, but let's just say you didn't, you're going to increase your profit because you're going to be able to charge more for what you're doing.
I think something like that too is that's the type of thing that someone goes, where did you get that? Where did you buy that? You know, there you are increasing your revenue.
On those, I can't tell you how many times I've realized that evoking an emotion in my buyer, and especially like novelty, the one I always use, I use the word delight. If someone is just delighted, they're surprised by something that makes them happy, that they're interested in. Plus, we always talk about making our customer the hero. The hero in the, you know, in the heroic cycle finds the thing, goes out and finds the good thing, and then brings it home. And that's what they're out to do, right? Well, we think about that kind of mythic cycle, the hero, and I'm making this way too big, but doesn't everybody want to be the person who finds the cool thing and then shows your friends and says, check that out. Where do you think? And then everybody asks you where you got it. And part of your experience of owning the cool thing is to show all the people and to be the person who knows where to get the cool thing. Yeah. But the funny thing is that's also our best brand advocate right there. That's somebody who's going to say, oh yeah, well, I got a guy. I could show you.
I know. I'll
let you know my guy. I can give you their number. And invariably, that customer gets to be the hero to somebody else, which makes them part of that story for themselves. And for us, we now get that word of mouth, which we all know, no matter what kind of marketing you have, word of mouth is always important and powerful.
Yeah.
No matter what else you're doing, you always want word of mouth referral. That is social proof done immediately. And I think that's something that you don't think comes from creative stuff, but that delight, that novelty drives so much of the desire to share.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's awesome. And like you said, the putting a bow on, I didn't even mean to say it like that, but yeah, down to the point of the packaging, down to the point of the finishing, down to the point of how someone is going to encounter that first shirt when they open a box.
Yeah.
All of these little things, you could bring something that is a little different from somebody else, and it's enough to trigger that novelty and potentially that virality for someone to want to share it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right on.
I love it.
Awesome. Thank you guys. That was fantastic. Thank you for jumping in. I know I made you work a little bit. It wasn't just me talking today, but I thought it has to be more that we get out of all of us chatting together than just me sitting here spitting my same old saw on why it's important to be a consultant instead of a commodity.
Yeah, I love it. Eric, thank you so much, man. We appreciate you being along for the ride here and putting us to work too. I like that.
It's good. You know,
but before we let you go, Eric, what do you have coming up on your schedule impending here?
The biggest thing, I'm just going to go one thing because we're already running long. The biggest thing for everybody to think about is that DAX Chicagoland is coming right now. As we said this, you know, we're dealing with DAX Minnesota is already happening. So if you're not in Minnesota right now, you might not make it. But DAX Chicagoland still happening in Tinley Park. So April 19th and 20th. But you're going to find me teaching back-to-back classes on the 20th. And this is the great thing. I'm covering part of this vintage values where I talk about making embroidery look more like vintage embroidery and less like modern production commercial embroidery, which is exactly why we're having this discussion. That's something I'm teaching, as well as digitizing detail. So head over to daxshow.com and please get in on the fun and get in on making a little more money for every one of those stitches, people.
I love it.
Yeah, awesome. Hey, everybody, make sure you also go over to ericcampbell.com and make sure you're subscribed to his YouTube channel and like his Facebook page and smash and do all the things, right? So
the take up, it will go on. So you'll find more of the take up. I just got done talking to Joe Kramer. So if you missed it, go back and get that first episode of the Thread Break where we did get to talk about all those creative things and you got to see a lot of Joe's samples. So watch the video. Don't just listen to that one. You really want to tune in and see the video.
Awesome. Love it.
Aaron, why don't you go next and you can take a breath while I do mine and before you do
secret sauce. Get ready for the sauce. Start stirring it up. Stirring up the secret sauce. All right. Well, so first off, I invite you guys to check out our Facebook page, our Facebook group over there. If you go to facebook.com/groups, Fall in Love OSG or OSG Fundamentals, same, it'll get you the same place, Eric. So all good. Both of those.
Good enough.
We just recently had a name change, but it still goes to the same place. So we awesome. Had people going, we don't really understand this. Okay. Fall in love with your business. Can you do that? Yep. Let's do it. So yeah, it's a place where we believe that every question is worth asking and every member's voice matters. When you're facing challenges, seeking advice or celebrating successes, that's one of the things we love to do over there. You'll find a welcoming space here to share your journey and learn and just be around fellow entrepreneurs that believe a rising tide lifts all boats. There you go. So you can check that one out too. I am going to be off to Atlantic City here very quickly. Coming up next week, actually Thursday, March 21st, I'll be teaching Elevating Your Business with AI, Harnessing ChatGPT for Generative Marketing. All hail Skynet. I have to do that. It's contractually required. and then on Friday, March 22nd, I'll be sharing how to master pricing, making your business unstoppable. So looking forward to that. You guys saw the details about Fundamentals Live happening June 7th and 8th. And if you are looking to be more fulfilled and connected to your small business, this event is for you. This is something that's never been done in our industry, as far as I can tell. It's a small business retreat where you come together as a community to facilitate falling in love with your business. We're going to build the foundation of your business and no vendors, none of that. Just we're getting in there. We're going to have an experience that I think you will remember for the entirety of your business career. So osg.link/funlive. And then last but not least for me, the paperback and ebook version of The Fundamentals of Business Success is available for purchase. I'm getting tons of great feedback already. Actually, was taking copies of it to the shows with me too. And I had a weird experience, guys. I sold a book to somebody and he wanted to take a picture with me in it. That was like, I was like, oh, dude, this is cool. But it felt a little weird. But he was a super nice guy. We sat and talked for a while and really looking forward to seeing what he does with his business. So anyhow, if you've got a copy of the book already, I'd love to hear your feedback and how you're integrating that into your business. But if you have not, go to osg.link/FBS and you can check it out there. So that's me. Terry,
well, put your chef's hat on, go put your apron on, and my next complete screen printing business course, I'll be at Workhorse Products in Phoenix on May 4th and 5th. I'll be back in Chicago, was there last weekend, back in Chicago on June 8th and 9th. I'll be speaking at Impressions Expo in Atlantic City with my presentation, everything you've ever heard about DTG and DTF printing on the internet is wrong. And that will be Friday, March 22nd. All my upcoming events will be, you'll find at terrycombs.com. And Aaron, are you ready for a little bit of secret sauce?
I am. Let's taste that secret sauce. Here we go. Not too long ago, I ran into this poll on one of the industry groups on Facebook, and the responses and options made me wonder, wow, how do we stack up as an industry when it comes to customer service? So how would I want the company to handle the issue if I put myself in the customer's shoes? So take a look at this this poll right here. As you can see from the top vote getters, most votes are to make the customers, you know, this is just my opinion, but to make the customers feel stupid. Maybe we're going to be a little passive aggressive about it. Maybe we want to actually turn away the business, right? So this screen capture that I took of this poll was 24 hours after the poll was posted. And the choice of explain to the customer why it won't work only had one vote. I was like, oh no, come on, people. So to me, this is the only choice if we want to offer the customer service our business deserves to be known for. Right? It's all about education and ensuring that the customer experience is good and your workflow is not hindered by the customers you're working with. Right? So the investment in education and educating your customers has a wide range of benefits. It's going to create loyalty, word of mouth referrals, happy customers who can't wait to do business with you again because you helped them to learn something that they didn't previously understand. All right, so essential customer service boils down to setting expectations up front and then delivering on those expectations. It's not about bending over backwards for everyone that has a dollar in their wallet, right? It's setting expectations, and those expectations have to be abundantly clear to the customers about what you need precisely to be able to give them the best experience. So the point should not only be clear to you, but clear to them. Remember, you are the expert and you live this daily. The customers are paying you because you are the authority of this whole process, right? That's why you do this. So if you set those expectations in the form of maybe it's a conversation during the quoting process, or maybe it's in the form of clear policies and procedures that they can actually find and read and see before they order, right? If you have to hide your policies and procedures in the fine print because you're worried that customers won't do business with you because of your staunch policies, then it's time to revisit them. Your policies and procedures should be drafted to indicate to the customer that they're made to improve their experience. So, for example, in this particular case that you see on screen here, the 72 DPI, right? You need to say, hey, we need high quality artwork to deliver the best quality end product to you. Therefore, we cannot accept 72 DPI files. And then here's what we do need, right? Think about what other frustrations you have when dealing with your customers. I can safely say that you're either not setting expectations in that area, or you're attracting the wrong types of customers who will never understand those expectations anyways to begin with. So once you take that order, the expectations switch onto you. That switch of expectations landing on your shoulders is where that phrase, the customer's always right, comes from. Now, you have their money, and how they perceive the expectations of them and their expectations of the finished product now take over at this point, right? As soon as you've taken the order, you have their money, now it's on you, right? So customer service heroes will jump in at this point and they will start educating when there's something amiss. So as a reminder, they're coming to you to get your expertise. So they expect that education from you. So in the example of the poll on screen here, what does 72 DPI mean and why can't you use it, right? I know people in this industry that are making a very good living that have no clue what 72 DPI means, right? So you expect your customers that are coming to you for expertise to know that? Okay. So what are the options if that's the only type of file that they have available? Do you have a designer that you can refer them to? Once it's going to cost the customer more, I find that most customers miraculously find the right kind of file that they need. So if you're doing a lot of educating, one last bonus tip here, actually. Sorry, I got ahead of myself. One last bonus tip to close this up. If you're doing a lot of educating on the same topic over and over again, use that opportunity to educate better before you even take the order, right? You could do things like create a video, write a blog post, or update a customer service policy, or better yet, do all three of those things, right? So customer service is all about setting and achieving expectations, and that's my secret sauce.
You know, that survey made me sad, and then it made me really happy because I thought, what a wonderful opportunity for people who do customer service correctly.
Isn't it, right? I know. I was like horrified as I was watching that thing go, and I'm like, I have to take a screen capture of this. I cannot believe it. I get it. It was in a closed group of just printers and yada, yada, yada. But come on, folks, let's do a little bit better. All right. Awesome. Well, good job, Terry, what a great show today. We've come to the close of another one. I cannot thank Eric enough for the show topic and just, man, I had a blast today. And even though he put us to work, I thought we had a good time. So. Didn't feel like work.
I love those host shows that we do. So
yeah,
we also want to thank Eric for not only being putting the show together for us this morning, but also for turning the knobs and pushing the buttons and keeping us on track there in the background. Thank you, Eric.
Yes, 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 yes. All right. Well, next week we've got another host show coming your way, but a topic to be determined. So if there's anything you guys want to hear about, make sure you put them in the comments or send us a note over at info@tworegularguys.com. And we will do our best to bring you that information, but stay tuned for an amazing show next week as well.
All right. Until then, I'm Terry Combs. He's Aaron Montgomery.
And that was the Two Regular Guys.
Here we go. We're out!
Awesome.
Thank you for listening to Two Regular Guys. Check out our website at tworegularguys.com. That's the number 2regularguys.com. You can also interact with us over at our Facebook page, facebook.com/tworegularguys, or send us a tweet, twitter.com/tworegularguys. And we have a YouTube page. You can find all that from our website, tworegularguys.com. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to spending some time with you again next week.